Hello, this is Ari Pincus, and today I'm speaking with Mel Coleman, CEO of North Arkansas Electric Cooperative. Thanks for joining me today, Mel.
Good morning, and glad to.
I want to know, where are you in the process of bringing broadband to North Arkansas?
We are in, the end of the first full year rollout. We actually call it phase two because we had a pilot project that went about 2.5 years. We wanted the pilot project to make sure, tremendous investment, $130 million for basically a small utility here in North Arkansas, and probably increased our debt by 75%. So we wanted to make sure it was going to work. So we had a pilot project. We saw the numbers. We liked the numbers. We applied those to the full rollout to our 36,000 member accounts, and the numbers worked. So we're in, we're closing out the first year, and we're about to head into year two. And so far, so good. We're excited about the take rate. We're excited about the improvement to the quality of life to the members that that we've served thus far.
Great. Can you talk about the significance of this project?
Well, I am a tremendous advocate for rural America. As president of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association for a couple of years, you know, when I would talk about rural broadband, I would make the comparison of 80 years ago when rural America didn't have power. Urban areas and cities had electricity, and rural America did not. Co-ops were established to bring power to rural America. We did. We improved the quality of life in rural America when we did that. And I see the same thing today. As far as what we can do for rural America, what I can do for our 36,000 member accounts, that we can give them the same access to gigabit speeds as folks in the cities have had for a long time now. And I see an improvement in their quality of life, very similar to what we saw 80 years ago with rural electrification.
Now, what's the next phase of work for you and your team?
We're coming up on our 80th anniversary here at North Arkansas Electric. We have built an electric cooperative for 80 years and have a 92 ACSI score. Our members are very happy. Now, having said that, we had to build a communications company from scratch. This is a business, obviously, that we've never been in before. We knew the need was there for rural America, for our members, but we had never been in that business, and that's one of the reasons we had the two-and-a-half-year pilot project. So what we did in latter part of 2018 and first part of 2019 were bring people on board that had communications expertise. We've hired to date, I want to say, about 15 additional personnel. So what we're looking at now, and I hate to overuse the cliche, a well-oiled machine. In the pilot project, we made mistakes. We knew we were going to make mistakes. We learned from those mistakes, and we took those into the rollout, which again started January of this year, and we tried to turn that around and again improve, get the machine up and running, and that's what we've done. So as we're looking at 2020, what we did in 2019, or what we will have done by the end of the year, is complete about 700 miles of a 5,000 mile fiber rollout. It's not as much as we wanted, but again, it was, the machine was cranking up. Our goal for next year is to connect somewhere around 1,200 to 1,400 folks next year. We'd like to get this done in 5 years. Actually, if we had the manpower, I'd love to have it done in 2 or 3 years, but obviously we can't do that. We just don't have the manpower to hang 5,000 miles of fiber and get it done that quick. So 2020 is going to be a mirror image of 2019, hopefully adding about 30 or 40% more miles of line and getting more members hooked up.
Now, you were talking about lessons learned. Could you talk about some of the lessons you learned in the pilot project and just as the years gone by?
The biggest lesson was just that 3.5 years ago, we really didn't know a lot about the communications business. So when we started tooling up and ramping up and bringing people on board, I think that's the biggest thing we learned is how to set up a communications company. And we did, and we've got an absolutely amazing communications company. What ours is called is Next. powered by North Arkansas Electric Cooperative. And what we do is we bring 1 gigabit service to every member in our service territory, along with, for some of those who still want dial-up service, we offer that, and we also offer television package as well. So, you know, it was just a learning curve as far as how to roll it out. I mean, you've got all of it, marketing, pricing, the actual construction of the system. And when you look at, let's just take construction, there are numerous ways to construct the system. We have a lot of obstacles with our terrain. We're in a very hilly area of North Arkansas, so we have obstacles there. But that first 2.5 years in the pilot project was really, those were the years that we went through the learning curve and tried to get that done before we made the decision to move forward. Again, I've got a responsibility to our 9-member board of directors that I report to. They've got a responsibility to the 36,000 members that elected them to make sure this thing works. Hey, we learn every day. I'm not going to say we don't, but most of the major obstacles, learning curve, all that was done in the pilot project.
Has there anything unexpected that's happened this year that's kind of made you have to pivot or shift course?
Not really. The sole purpose for us rolling out fiber is to get access to the internet, gigabit access to the internet to every home. When you look at how a communications company should operate, you know, we should offer other services, and we do, with the dial-up, as I mentioned, and also television services. Now, I'll tell you that 90% of our trouble calls, if you would call them, questions that we get into the office are really about TV. And the fiber end of this, the internet end of this, is pretty simple. You know, we get it in the house, folks use it, it's there. And sure, we get calls about, you know, the router, the Wi-Fi, or something like that. But most of the calls we're getting now have to do with the TV end, which, again, it's not the meat, it's kind of the potatoes. We're doing it for the fiber, but we've also got the TV. So I guess I want to answer that question and say that, you know, TV is a challenge at times, but we're committed to continue to offer it because a lot of people want to have all three of those services from the same provider.
That's helpful to know. Now, for this $130 million project, you've received nearly $23 million from the FCC.
Yes.
Are there innovative ways you're raising the rest of the funds for the project?
Well, we are RUS borrowers, and we had, coming into the project, we had ample cash on hand to get through year one. So, you know, we're very fortunate that, you know, our financials are good. And by the way, this is all arm's length. This is a wholly owned subsidiary of North Arkansas Electric that must stand on its own. But the way North Arkansas Electric actually owns the backbone fiber, that's a large part of the expense because there's, you know, there are other things that we will do with that fiber once we connect all of our homes, all of our substations, which we've got them connected, and all of our offices. But as far as financing, the co-op came into it with a good supply of cash on hand, enough to get us through the first year. We have various options for financing. RUS is our financing option. And then we have a couple of cooperative banks that are also in the field as well, offering financing to co-ops that are in the business. So we really don't have to worry about raising money. We've got it. But just like any banker, anybody that's going to loan money, they wanted to see performance. And again, going back to the pilot project, one of the reasons we did that was to prove to our lenders that, A, we could operate in this business climate, and B, it had a very good chance of success. And both of those were true.
Got it. Was there any support that you received that you didn't expect?
No, I mean, you know, the Connect America Fund auction, when we did our financials, it was close. I'll be honest with you, it was close. We knew that our members wanted it. We felt like we had a good shot at getting the Connect America Fund, the Connect America auction, and some of our census blocks in this area. And yeah, that $22.6 million really was the icing on the cake for us that told us we should go forward with this. And any other financial incentives? No, there really aren't any. But I can tell you that, you know, I am a huge proponent of the Connect America Fund. And when it's actually used for rural America like this last auction. It's very pleasing to see that actually being used. And I'm also a big proponent of proof of performance. I want to show everybody that we are performing not just as expected, but exceeding all expectations, especially when we're using money that came from that fund along with our own money. We want folks to know that this money is actually going to bring broadband to the people that need it the most.
Great. Thank you. That's helpful. What's on your wish list to complete the project?
I've got two VPs who oversee this on a daily basis, and I think if you set the three of us down and talk to us, you know, our wish list is that we had more contractors available. You know, obviously our linemen, our electric linemen, are not hanging fiber because that's not what they do. My men and women are the best anywhere at running an electric company. So we have actually hired expertise for the folks that work on the inside. We are very dependent upon contractors for the hanging of the fiber and the drops to the homes and such as that. We have calls every day, every hour, every 10 minutes. I can't go out to dinner that somebody's not asking me, well, when are you coming to, you know, 2350 County Road 52? So the sooner that we could roll this out, the better for all of us. And all of us would love to do that. I mean, that would be number one on our wish list, to cut this from a 5-year rollout to a 3. But right now, it is just not possible because the manpower is not there.
Got it. Now, in what ways does this project stand out from other broadband implementations?
Well, I think the fact that a rural electric co-op is getting into the business instead of a communications company that's already been in the business is the biggest thing. I think what makes our project stand out is that there is no profit motive. We have absolutely no desire for profit. If we make money when this is all said and done, which we tend to do, that will go right back to the members of the cooperative. And there you have the business model of a member-owned electric cooperative. All of the profits are returned to the members. All the margins go back to the members. So there is no desire for profit. There is no Wall Street investor. And again, I'll go back to 80 years ago. We did not just open a building 80 years ago and say, hey, you know, we're going to take electricity to your home. That's not the way it happened. The members came together themselves and said, hey, we want electricity here in the rural area. So we, the members, who are ultimately going to be the customers, members, we're going to form the co-op. Co-op didn't come here and ask for members. The members formed us, and that's how we started. And a very similar process here. No one is coming in trying to make a profit. No one is just wanting to open up a storefront and say, hey, I think I can make money selling broadband. This is a member-driven project, and the members saw a need for it. We ascertained that need, and because of their desire for broadband in rural America, that's why we're doing it. So that's what makes this a little bit different, actually a lot different than any other initiative to bring broadband or any other form of communications to any area, because this is member-driven.
Got it. Thank you for providing that distinction. How are you working with other cooperatives?
Well, one thing about co-ops that I always say, when you've seen one co-op, you've seen one co-op. There's 950 of us across the country. There are 17 in Arkansas, and we work together. Our national association based in Arlington, Virginia, National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. You know, NRECA is obviously formed for many reasons. Governmental affairs is one of the key ones. But we share a lot of information co-op to co-op. We share a lot of information on a statewide basis. And we share a lot of information through NRECA, our national association. Now, don't take that to mean that they tell us what to do or they suggest what to do. They just help us coordinate all of our activities, best practices. And if a co-op wants to get into broadband, we'll get support from our statewide. We'll get support from other co-ops and from NRECA. If they don't, that's fine. And there are many co-ops who have to date not made a decision to get into broadband. That's just how a co-op operates. We work together. We call it cooperation among cooperatives. We share best practices. But at the end of the day, each co-op is absolutely autonomous individuals, autonomous co-op serving folks that have different needs. So while we do share information, we don't all do the same thing.
Are there particular cooperatives that you're working with on this project?
Yes, we've got a consortium going in the state of Arkansas. Well, multiple actually in the state. We've got the six of us that are actively working together, sharing best practices. You know, we purchased the TV product from one of the Arkansas co-ops who actually invested the money for the video head in, which you've got to have that to get all the channels. So we contract with them. We have fiber connections going through Missouri to get to St. Louis for some of our internet backbone that we contract with a co-op in Missouri that has fiber that is transmission fiber, transmission size fiber. Actually, a Missouri co-op is the first co-op we met with 4 or 5 years ago when we thought about this. They had been in the business for a couple years. In fact, one of their principals is now formed his own consulting company, and we deal with that consultant, as do many co-ops across the country. So, yeah, there's a lot of cooperation between the six co-ops in Arkansas and Missouri co-ops, and it really helps because, you know, it's a big ocean out there, and when you have folks that are swimming with you, it really helps.
Yeah, I bet. Are there a couple of best practices that you can share?
Well, and I'm not sure if this is what you're asking, but I think advice that I would give to anyone that is going to get into the business is do a pilot project. Make sure that you understand what you're getting into. I think the very best practice is not to make a mistake. And I'll be the first to say this is not for everybody. Now, I'm not saying that we're better than anybody. I'm just saying that, again, every co-op is unique. Every geographical area is unique. Every membership is unique. Demographics are unique to co-ops. So I think the best practice is just to make darn sure that you know what you're doing. The pilot project, as I said, helped us to learn what to do, to make mistakes that we could learn from, to actually figure out if we could establish a communications company that would be competitive and viable and actually bring to our members what they want. So those best practices, I think hiring the right people. We've been very fortunate here that we have been able to hire some very, very skilled people that have had decades of communications experience and fiber experience that we've been able to bring on board for the subsidiary. I think that's a key. And just the fact that you're able to establish the business.
Great. And what do you hope this project will achieve for your community?
Well, all things fiber and the internet can bring. I'll never forget the first time I heard about the internet. Oh, I want to say it was, you know, in the mid-80s, I had no clue what it was. You know, we operated on a mainframe here at the co-op, and people started talking about the internet, and then we went through that period where we had the dot-com bust. So in the beginning days of the internet, I don't know if anybody fully understood what it was going to mean to the world, basically. I mean, everything we do, from the ATM card to the gas pump to the electric bill to television, everything is now connected to the internet. I mean, your home, I've got so many devices in my home now that are connected to the internet, and who would have thought that 25 years ago? I mean, it's mind-blowing, and I know people, you know, 50 years ago could say the same thing about the telephone or the television or the car, but it, to me, it's mind-boggling to think back 25 years to when, you know, what is this internet thing? And today, everything, every part of our life is tied to it. I've got a cell phone right here in my hand. What all has that thing replaced? And everything that this cell phone will do that I'm talking about has got to have the internet. So to me, the internet is a necessity. To some people, it's gaming. I had a fella tell me last night he can't wait to get 1 gig service because he's in this big gaming forum or whatever. Well, that doesn't mean a lot to me because I'm not a gamer. Education, healthcare, I mean, you name it. So we've got a member customer on the White River, and they have a restaurant, and they're miles from anywhere. They've got a couple fellas that moved in to work for them, actually relatives, who are IT specialists. They will get 1 gigabit internet service within the next 60 to 90 days. Those two IT specialists who wanted to have a part in running that restaurant live on the banks of the White River, the most beautiful place in the world. Their clients are in California, some of the largest corporations in California, Silicon Valley, are some of their IT clients. They will be able to do their work where they want to live and still talk to their clients and do their clients' work in California. To me, that is one of the best success stories I've heard about what our gigabit service is going to do for them. They can have the quality of life that they want. They can live where they want to live. They can wake up every morning and see that absolutely beautiful White River and go to work for some large multinational corporation based in California. That's why we're in the business.
That's a wonderful story. And as a North Arkansas resident, what does this project mean to you personally?
Well, it just makes me proud that we're able to bring North Arkansas into, again, make a comparison to 80 years ago to improve the quality of life. Electricity improved the quality of life for everyone. There is absolutely no doubt. When people thought we didn't need it, and some of the testimony from the debate from the REA Act of 1934 when folks didn't think that rural America needed electricity, and it's in the congressional record. Those folks don't need it. Those farmers don't need it. Well, they said the same thing about broadband and high-speed broadband. Why, what do folks in rural areas need that for? What makes me the proudest is that we are able to show everyone why we need it just as much as anybody else and what benefits are going to come from that once it is delivered. I get up every morning to come to work, and all of us do that work here in every co-op across the country. So our people, the people that own this place, can have a better quality of life. And to me, that is the most satisfying thing through all of this, dating back 80 years to the rural electrification movement to today, to the fiber to the home movement.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It's been a pleasure having you on today, Mel. Thank you so much for taking time.
Well, I'm glad to do it, and hopefully we'll get to visit more, and it's a great thing, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
This is Ari Pincus, and I've been speaking with Mel Coleman, CEO of North Arkansas Electric Cooperative.